We are nearing the end of Peacemakers. The last time it was about exhortation, or revelation, proclamation, if you will. And I was exhorting you, and myself included, to step up to the plate to be a proactive peacemaker, not a reactive peacekeeper. And this second to last module is called the application. And how do you apply this? Well, there have been a few things that have been proposed, mentioned, recommended, if you will, for you to work your way through. And this sort of brings it now into a clear contrast with everything else. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7, of course, says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. We're oftentimes quick to say, let's call a national congress, let's call a day of fasting and pray for the nation and so forth, if my people are called by name and so forth, and repeat the same things and these long prayers that go on and on. I'm not knocking events like that. I'm not knocking those things, except to say it seems that the biblical model is more about a personal contact when it comes to prayer time. Jesus retreated into the wilderness to pray. That is different from corporate prayer, of course. But in the context of what I am talking about here, for preparing ourselves to take the beam out of our eye first, in order to have the power of God flowing through us when we point out the speck in somebody else's eye, that it will have the cause and effect that we're desiring, it is more about a personal prayer time than it is about a corporate prayer time. There may very well come a time when we have to do something corporately, of course, and I'm not suggesting that as a group of people you can't pray collectively, but in the application I'm talking about for you to go through, I'm suggesting that you go into your room, when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. So it starts with prayer. That's the first thing in the application, quietly sitting with God. I've mentioned this as well before. Because talk to God before you talk to people about God. That was Pete DeBeer's famous line. Talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. So in that time when you're praying, if you wish to add fasting to it, absolutely. Wonderful point to that. It is not a magic formula, but it does something in the spiritual and physical realm for which God certainly honors. Doesn't pull his hand any more or less, but it is nonetheless a biblical principle. And I am speaking to myself as well, just by the way. So that's a whole different discussion about fasting and what that means and all of that stuff. You can certainly do your own homework on it. But everything starts with us personally. We must get into the closet, if you will, lock and shut the door and pray to our Father, asking him to show us what's wrong with us, to heal us personally, to let things go, to do repentance, confession, all of those things. And then we will now be able to emerge the butterfly from the cocoon, to carry the power of God, to be ministers of reconciliation, to be peacemakers of power. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Verse 7 started with, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But here again we see drawing near to God and he will draw near to you. Get into the closet, close your door, pray to your Father in secret, draw near to him, and he will bring about the repentance. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts of sin. He tells you, listen, man, you really have been, you know, so and so and so and so. And other people do that, but it may not have as much of an effect because your flesh will want to rebound. And all you're going to get is a fleshly response. What you want is a spiritual response, and only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. So when it is time for you to draw near to God, quality time, he will actually do that for you, and that is a wonderful thing. Again, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." This is not about your salvation. That's already done by the blood of Christ and your faith in him, not by your works. But here Isaiah says, come and reason. God is saying, come away with me, beloved, as Song of Solomon says. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk these things through. Let's deal with you first. Then let's reason about how you can help other people, because it's not just about you and your cleaning up, if you will. God is interested in that, but he's also very much interested in other people as well. But he wants to pour new wine into new wineskins, not old wineskins. So the first principle really is you have to make peace with yourself and God first. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have made peace with God through Christ. If you are not, I would strongly urge you to seriously take note of the words of the Bible, where God is calling you to repentance, calling you to say it's time, you need Jesus now in these desperate days that we live. But if you know the Lord already, you need to make peace with yourself. If you're in any kind of turmoil or confusion, you may be beating yourself up unnecessarily. You may be, just in turmoil, double-minded, not sure what you should do, so and so. All of that is an absence of peace. So you must make peace with yourself. You know, it's remarkable when you are alone with yourself. That is perhaps maybe the true test of character, as well as you know the level of peace that you have. I know I was very, ADD, very antsy, very couldn't be alone for a minute, had to be a busy bee moving up and down, A-type personality. Didn't like being alone. And over time, painful as it was, emotionally and otherwise, God put me through a process of learning to be by myself, but not alone. There's a huge difference. When you are by yourself, you're not alone. God is with you. And if you are at peace with that fact that you can be by yourself, but not alone, that peace which passes all understanding guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You have now made peace with yourself. I made peace with myself. I have a wonderful testimony I'll share sometime about how that happened, but I can be by myself now without there being an issue. In fact, it's a bit of a concern to me now, because during this time of lockdown and COVID, I work out of home. My wife works out of home. So I'm by myself for the majority of the day. And I find myself more attracted to that than I am to people. Isn't that weird? You know, you may say, well, you're being antisocial. Well, yeah, there's a dynamic to that. Of course, COVID certainly has done that for all of us. But it is a time where I relish the silence. I used to love noise and music and turn on the radio and turn. Now I just turn off the radio. I just want the silence and the peace. I realize I am at peace with myself. Thank God. This is a work of God. One of the things is about the focus on the Lord. You know, shut away, prisoner of the Lord, or with the Lord, if you will, you're shut away. You now have a choice. You can be at peace with yourself and with your God, or you can choose to be rattled in the cage, so to speak. But the focus, when you go into the room and close the door, when you come and reason with the Lord, when you are there drawing near to God and He will draw near to you, your focus is on the Lord. And Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace when you are focused on him, when your mind is stayed on him. And remember, we have the mind of Christ. But we're still working through that. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this is a process of time. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do this. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. There will be a moment where it goes bingo and you know you're there. But nonetheless, allow the process to go through. Focus on God. He will keep you in perfect peace. And one of the other things is that you may need help. You may need someone who, what's the word I'm looking for, who can help to walk you through some of this process of, confession and repentance, if you will. So don't be afraid to reach out as well after you've had your time with the Lord. Romans 8, verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When the flesh is moving and the busyness, the tyranny of the urgent crowds out the important, that is carnally minded. When we're completely focused on worldly things, been distracted, and it's easy for that to happen, then it just leads to death. Not necessarily physical death or, spiritual death per se in this context, but certainly the death of your fellowship, the death of your peace, all of that stuff, it just begins to, like a flower that hasn't been watered, it begins to fade. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So keep your mind, the mind of Christ, allow it to be transformed, and may it be stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ the whole way through. Colossians 3 says, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You have to allow the umpire, if you will, who rules, to dictate what you do with your heart. That peace comes when you focus on God, when you're there. And then that same peace will transfer to someone else. You will walk into a room. This is not no magic thing I'm espousing here. I'm talking about real, supernatural, spiritual Holy Spirit. You will walk into a room and someone will feel the Holy Spirit. Then it's not that they're going to feel it. They're not going to feel you. They may describe it thusly and say, oh, you have an aura around you, or my goodness, you're so peaceful. They will sense that. They don't know how to describe it necessarily, but it is the Holy Spirit in power manifesting himself through you, because you are at peace with yourself. You are coming. You have made peace with God, and now you are coming to make peace with someone else, or to help others to make peace with themselves, you being the instrument, the minister of reconciliation, carrying the word of reconciliation to them. They will sense it. Paul said, I do not come to you with wise and persuasive words, with a PowerPoint presentation, but I come to you with the power, a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith may rest on Christ, not in these PowerPoints or in these great words that you're bringing, or human wisdom, but with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said, you may need, after you've done this alone time with God, by yourself, with him, you may need to get some things off your chest with another human being. God has put us in a place where we need each other. We obviously go to the Holy Spirit first. Confession is something which is also very good. Must be done in an air of trust, confidentiality, all of that. Find someone. And then James 5 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You may need to say, listen, I really feel convicted about this thing. I've told it to God. I know that he has cleansed me. But I really need to have another human being walk me through the process. And then find a brother or a sister that you can do that. And once that's off your chest, you're going to find the peace that you long for just comes rolling in. A very important thing during confession and repentance is never forget that Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And of course, John 8:36 clearly says that, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The Lord will make you free, bringing no condemnation to you who are in Christ. But you still may need to go through this process of bringing these things. Now, in the process of doing this, you may want to write certain things down. Some people burn it, get rid of it, whatever, you know, the evidence, quote unquote. That's up to you. Write down specific things you may want to do with that, people, circumstances. I don't know what the Lord is going to actually tell you. But part of that is to also ask the Lord, show me, Lord, the verses, the Bible verses that apply to me. Write them down, memorize it, keep it near to you. And this is the tools that you can use to be able to help others. Habakkuk 2:2 says, you know, write the vision down and run with it. So whatever vision the Lord has given you for being a peacemaker, write it down. He may say, you know, go to this person, go to that person, this situation in the church, this situation at work, whatever it may be. Allow the Holy Spirit to write this. Now, you're only going to hear a lot clearer from the Lord about these things to distinguish between your flesh, the devil trying to plant thoughts, or the Holy Spirit giving you an unction. Is a lot clearer for your ears whole when the wax has come out. And the wax really is the confession and the repentance and the filling of the Holy Spirit for you to know, okay, I heard very clearly from the Lord about this. And then write that down so you have the strategy now, you have the plan, and you know, okay, Lord, when is the right time for me to approach others? You have to be careful because, you know, as you're saying, cockroach don't business in foul fight. And basically, you do not jump yourself into a war between two people playing peacemaker because you don't want to run into a Seven Sons of Sceva issue at all, which is why it's very important to go through this process first. I want to repeat it again. Go through the process first with yourself. Take the beam out of your own eye. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. Then you're in a position of power to hear clearly from the Lord, who will give you the vision, give you the strategy, tell you who to speak to and who not to speak to. And then when you do go, you will know exactly what should be done about approaching others. Don't just jump the gun, right? I have to reinforce that point. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Remember, this module is about the application, taking action to go be a peacemaker. And you have to have that knowledge, first of all. You have to use wisdom. You can't just jump and run so and think that you're not going to get some lick if you have not gone through the process. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So whatever thoughts have come into your mind because you know you're hearing from the Holy Spirit clearly, you must commit it to the Lord and say, Lord, I am going to go help these people because I truly feel you're calling me to do this. But don't be afraid, by the way, to ask for permission from the people. Very important. You must ask them permission first before you do anything. They may say, no, I have no. They may not be ready. Jesus said, I have many things to share with you, but you can't bear them now. There's a time and a place in which they may be ready to receive from you. They may not be ready. And you just let that pot of water continue to boil. And you may return to it at another time, but certainly you must ask their permission if you're trying to be a peacemaker. You can't just jump in and say, wait a second, my name is Henry Kissinger. I'm going to solve this problem now. You can't come with that attitude. Okay, I'm going to wrap this part. There's one more part to the application, which I will conclude the next time. And then we move on to the final module, which will be the celebration. This whole part has been called the application, and it is about shaping a reconciliation generation. Father, I thank you for your word, because it is your word that cuts to dividing joints and marrow, soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So Lord, I pray as we go through this personal time trying to find out how we actually apply being a peacemaker, starting with us, Lord, and then moving on, Lord, to you giving us instructions for people, circumstances, and the plan and the strategy how to do it, and to get the counsel and the advice and wisdom from first you and then others. I pray that those listening, Lord, may take this to heart and may be blessed, Lord, in the pursuit of being peacemakers. In Jesus' name, amen.